At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. Hey, you're looking at drafts, prospects, and the future. And the minor league baseball season's coming to a close, closing a little bit later than it is most years. And as the season ends, people aren't looking at the Tigers minor league system to be the disaster that it was at the start of the year. And people seem to think that it was going to be absolutely awful. Actually, there's been a lot of good developments with the Tigers minor league system. So as the season closes, we look at that minor league system. Which Baseball America put it at number 16. It's probably a little bit better than that. And they had a couple prospects that probably should be rated a little bit higher than what they are. And we'll go over that. Obviously, Colt Keith has gotten a lot of attention, and there's good reason for it. Obviously, there's been a lot of attention given to Justin Henry Molloy, and there's good reason for it. Obviously, Parker Meadows has come up and right away made a nice catch, hit a home run to win a game, and everybody was talking about him like crazy because he's pretty fast and unusual because he's so tall and all those different things. But there's some pretty good depth developing with them, and I'm going to start out with the first story. I think the most underrated story of the Tigers' summer and their prospects is Jackson Jobe. He has... Evan, his numbers, the traditional numbers, aren't doing justice to what his upside is and how quickly he's moving. I've watched his last couple outings in great detail, and Jackson Jobe is on the verge of actually maybe making it to the major leagues if he stays healthy and all those different things. It's always iffy with pitchers. Oh, as soon as next year, he's dynamite. And I don't think people realize just how good Jackson Jobe could be. That is one thing. Now, is that going to make Tiger fans feel any better now that Jordan Lawler has been called up to Texas, who they passed on in the draft? They're still lamenting about Marcello Mayer, who's, even though he struggled at AA, when the Red Sox organization has a chance, and they obviously need a shortstop. Maybe not. But Jackson Jobe, for all the angst we had at the start of the year about a spinal injury that sounded scary, this dude is, Evan, he's flatlining pitches at 97, 98. He's got tightened up his slider, which is a high spin rate. He's throwing changeups, and he never walks anybody. Now, once in a while, he'll throw a cookie in there, and their battle speed up, and he'll give up some home runs. But I'm telling you right now, he's moving quickly. If he is like this next year, he could be dominating the minor leagues, and I mean dominating. He right now he's everything he was advertised on draft day.
So basically you're saying if the progression keeps up the way that it is, we should hopefully see him maybe midway to the end of next year.
Well, he'll be in double A ball. And if he throws the ball the way he is right now, he's commanding the baseball. He throws high velocity fastball, which I'm pretty sure is a high spin rate. I don't have those numbers available to me, but it looks like it's, you know, on a straight line, meaning it's got a high spin rate. His slider has that legendary spin rate, which has held since he's been a professional. And he's throwing changeups, and he doesn't walk anybody. His command is really good. He's very athletic, very compact, and the light bulb has gone off for him. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's like three walks in 41 innings or something ridiculous like that. And he's not good. He's dominant right now. He's the type of guy that looks like everything they expected. That's story number one. Story number two is Jace Young, who was taken 12th overall last year out of Texas Tech. He's a second baseman. And at the time, I didn't like the pick. You know, it was like the Tigers were in complete implosion mode by that time. And it was still the old regime that was drafting. And Young was a safe pick, you know, the big-time college hitter. His brother plays, Josh, for the Texas Rangers and is a good player and all that. And not a lot of tools there. He's not fast. He has below-average range. He's a thick-bodied type of guy. So he's not an explosive athlete. He's got a funky batting stance where he holds his bat up in an odd way. And last year he hit one home run at West Michigan in, I don't know, 100-some at-bats. And he didn't look like anything. Well, the light bulb went off for this dude this year, and he's just cranking home runs left and right. He's got like 26 of them between West Michigan, where it's really hard to hit home runs, and 14 in a, you know, relatively limited amount of at-bats at Erie, where it's easier to hit home runs. And he's the guy who got the hit off Paul Skaines when he pitched against him the other day. But it was just a single. But he's looking really, really good as a hitter. And he's a second baseman who next year is going to play in the major leagues if he continues at this progression, because he was a big-time college player. And obviously he's made the adjustments that he needed to make in order to be that talent. And the third big development is Cole Keith. Now, Cole Keith, you know, you say that's the number one development. That's their top prospect. He's hit all these home runs. His OPS has been like 900 in AAA, close to it. And in AA, he was just went off, and he just turned 22. But in terms of, like, we've known about that for a while now compared to these other two coming out of the season. This is more of a development that is recent with Young and with Jackson Job. And that's one of the reasons the Tigers farm system, you know, looked like it was in trouble, because Keith has been way better than what we thought at spring training. And these guys have taken off where we didn't even know if Job was going to pitch this year. And Young looked like he was already way overdrafted at 12th overall. So those have been good news stories for the Tigers, absolutely. And those are three players that when the postseason, you know, they do it in the winter, I assume the national guys will rate them very highly. And Justin Henry Molloy, you can say whatever you want about him, but the guy's going to hit close to 30 home runs. He's got 111 walks or something. His OPS is, you think it's going to go down under 900. It keeps going up toward 1,000. And, you know, he hit a 441-foot bomb. You know, I was watching the other day that he pulled it. He's a strong dude. And that's a story that's developed. Did you expect that when they got him in that trade for Joe Jimenez, he would put up numbers at AAA?
So usually you see a guy like that, you hope that they develop, and that usually they don't. But the fact that he has developed like that is very impressive. But do you think the only reason he's been held off the major league team is his defense?
Well, I did a deeper dive into it. All right. One of the problems that you have with him is he's slow as molasses. All right. He doesn't run well. Coming out of high school, he ran a 7.2 60-yard dash. And I've watched, you know, the 60-yard dashes at the Instructional League, which is in the fall, and they line up all the players. And I'm telling you, Evan, they run it, and somebody gets to like 6.6 or 6.5. They're super fast. Most of them end it at like 7. And he was at 7.2. And to give you an idea, Cole Keith ran a 6.9 when he was timed. So he doesn't have what you call twitch. You know, that type of athleticism where you do things, which means he's basically a statue in the field. He's got some arm strength, and he's what's underrated about him is his strength. He's strong, and he's a smart hitter, but he's not the athlete that you normally expect from a major league regular in a certain sense. You know, they've tried him in the outfield. That's not going to work, and it certainly doesn't fit into what they're doing here, at least right now, because they have a lot of outfielders, albeit a lot of them left-handed hitters. But, you know, part of the problem they're having, and with Keith, Keith is a better athlete. And Keith did have a strong arm. He was a pitching prospect to a degree out of high school, topped out at 92 miles an hour. But he hurt his arm diving in the first base last year. That's what put him out of the lineup for the rest of the season. And his arm has not recovered to the point. So they've got these two guys as very questionable defenders. Spencer Torkelson at first base has had the absolutely, utterly terrible defensive metrics. You can talk about how he digs throws out of the dirt, but when you have a minus 1.7 defensive WAR and your range is in the bottom 3% of major league players, bottom 3 percentile, and your arm strength in the bottom 5 percentile, makes you wonder what they were thinking when they announced him as a third baseman. Which you know, there's a column that you know, I'm writing about this, but you can't have three statues on the dirt, you know, with Javi Baez. And if Javi Baez buys out, you know, opts out, they're going to be in a position where they don't have a shortstop in the pipeline. So while this is great news in terms of offense, which has been the Tigers' problem, they're going to hit. They're really going to hit when you look at Carpenter, you look at Torkelson, you look at Green, you look at potentially Meadows, they're going to hit. The problem is, are they going to defend? I mean, this is setting up their pitching staff to be out there in a rough situation if they don't improve their defense.
What do you make of, like, the Casey Mize injury? Now you get Matt Manning goes down with a broken foot. It just seems like unfortunate injuries for these guys, but are those two guys, they're still like part of this core rotation for the Tigers going into the future?
Manning will come back from that. There's no question. I mean, it's not an injury that's, from what I know about that, second time it's happened to him, the guy's jinxed. But the bigger concern with him is he's had some shoulder issues in the past. The season's almost over now. So he'll be recovered and, you know, it might throw off his throwing in the offseason and all that, but they would probably shut him down a little bit anyway. But the one thing about Matt Manning is everybody looks at his numbers and they see kind of an average fastball and they see a below average spin rate, but his extension is exceptional. It's in the top 3 percentile, meaning that when he releases the ball, it's closer to home plate, which gives his fastball an extra kick. So he's tightened up his breaking ball. So I'm expecting him to be fine. With Mize, it's always a difficult adjustment with Tommy John surgery. Pitchers just don't come back and they're as good as new. Eventually, they often do become that and better, and I'm expecting that from Mize, but I'm not expecting it right away next year. So it's the pitching is much more in flux than hitting, which is odd given where they were coming into this year. Skubal is their one pitcher, right? You can say Reed Olson fits in without question, right? But what do they have in Mize? What do they have in Manning? What do they have in somebody like Fajardo, who now they're using in relief? What do they have in Spencer Turnbull? What do they have in Joey Wentz? You know, what are they going to do with Bo Brisky? Yeah. That type of thing. And a lot of it's predicated on E-Rod. So when I'm looking at the Tigers in the offseason, I don't see them going after hitters. If they go after unrestricted free agents, especially if E-Rod opts out, it'll be starting pitching. I thought Julio Urias was perfect for them to take a splash move at, but not now.
It's probably off the table now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely off the table with his personal issues. So that's kind of where they're at with that circumstance right there. There's a couple pitchers that have made a lot of progress. Tyler Madison is a reliever at AA. I think he's their most underrated prospect in a certain way. He throws hard in the high 90s, touches there. A fourth-round pick out of Bryant University a couple years ago. And it'll be interesting to see how he comes for their bullpen. And it also, there's something with Ty Madden. He's had a good year in terms of striking out hitters. He was compensatory in the middle between the first and second round picks out of Texas. He's revamped his throwing mechanics, but he's striking out a lot of hitters. And he's either really great or sometimes just awful. But when he's really good and really on, he's really on. And he's got high volume stuff. When he comes up, people are going to go, "Whoa, this guy, he's not bad." So, but he's lacking consistency. It's the same with Job. Job is like he'll throw 100 pitches and 98 of them will be like absolutely scintillating, but he'll throw a cookie in there. So they have to develop more consistency. You can't get away with those in the major leagues. So pitching is much more in flux for the Tigers than hitting. Now, it's interesting on catching. I don't know what they got in Dylan Dingler. He's played now. He's been out. And he's done okay. He hasn't been great, but he's done okay. But the big thing is, what are they going to do with positions? I mean, they're playing. You know, and this other thing, man, you cannot ignore Eddie's Leonard, who they got in that cash deal with the Dodgers when everybody was upset about what happened with E-Rod. I mean, Eddie's Leonard, and it's pronounced Leonard, not Leonard. He's got an OPS over 1,000 at Toledo. They're putting the dude all over the place, too. They got him at shortstop. They play everybody in center field. Ryan Kreidler's played in center field. So they're trying to get into this mode about, like, fitting players in with A.J. Hinch and what he does managing. But this dude is just – he's hit 6 home runs already in Toledo since that trade. And he gets 2 or 3 hits, it seems like, every friggin' night. And he's 22. There was a reason the Dodgers wanted to keep him on their 40-man roster, did everything they could until they had no choice but to unload him at the trade deadline. But I don't know, man. That could be a fine for him with that. So there's some things that are going on pretty good for the Tigers. But here's the message. Pitching, much more in flux. Hitting, in good shape, but they got too many of the same type of players. And that's where the Tigers at moving forward. Minor league system in pretty good shape. You know, as far as the players drafted, Max Clark, since he's gone up to Class A, has struggled. And he had a game in which he struck out 4 times. And people are looking at it and go, why Langford's already hit 6 home runs? So that's already, but it's far from over for Max Clark. And McGonagall, the infielder they got, has hit very well at that level early on. So he's been doing pretty well. And Max Anderson, the kid from Nebraska that they've got, has done reasonably well playing at Class A. So their draft right now doesn't look too bad. Although the Max Clark thing, people are going to overreact to a couple struggles. But who knows? They still got a little bit of time left in their season. He gets a couple hits at the end and, you know, brings up his average. He'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I don't think you need to worry about Max Clark just yet. But he struggled lately. So,
what about? I just want to ask about one more guy. He was just recently called up to AAA, I believe. Justice Bigby.
Well, yes.
What's his story, Pat?
Well, he's a Kerry Carpenter Jr. You know, kind of the same thing. Different type player, right-handed hitter, first baseman, not outfielder. He went to West Carolina, which isn't on the power grid of college baseball. It's in the next level down. And he was a pretty good college player. And actually, he played in the Northwoods League, which is the Wood Bat League that's in the Midwest, kind of like the Cape Cod League. And he hit a lot of home runs for somebody, a college player. As many home runs with the Wood Bat as he did in college, which was unusual. Looking at him and doing a deeper dive into him. He's going to be 25 years old. All right. So this isn't somebody like Colt Keith, who's 22. Right. And he doesn't have the physical tools of Kerry Carpenter. Kerry Carpenter runs way better and throws way, way better than anybody anticipated. And certainly he doesn't have quite the power that he does. And he's a first baseman. So, again, it's another trading piece for Scott Harris, because if he is going to make roster moves and spend more money, it's going to be taking advantage of the depth that they have at certain positions, same type of player that other teams need, and maybe fill their needs with arbitration-eligible players, younger veterans, that fit their needs to try to improve their defense, especially on the dirt. So it's been a transitional year. The Tigers went from forever not having left-handed hitting to having tons of it and needing right-handed hitting. They've gone forever without athleticism, and they've got a lot of dudes who can run now. Verlaine, Bedu, Meadows, Riley Green's a plus runner. They got a lot of plus runners, even players like McKinstry. So they're much more athletic in a certain way than they were before. But you got to have fielders, man. You got to have somebody on the dirt to help that pitching staff. And that's where the concern comes in with a lot of their top hitters that are coming up. But Big B, 19th round draft pick, great story. And sometimes guys like that, we've seen it with Kerry Carpenter. You think, well, they're going to stop hitting now. They don't. Sometimes they just keep doing it. Well, that's the end of our podcast today. Evan enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time. Don't forget to download us at the iTunes Store, Google Play Store, certainly Odyssey.com, and wherever you get your podcast. And check us out, Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter, the King of the KC. On Twitter as well, and our Facebook page, 97 Won the Ticket Facebook page, and our 97 Won the Ticket X, formerly Twitter account. Till next time, we'll talk to you.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.